With that, I congratulate Joe, his family, and everybody involved in his youth, and anybody that's ever touched this young man in any of the sports that he's played. Certainly done a wonderful job, and I'd like to introduce to you Joe Maurer.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. It's Minnesota Sports Rewind.
Up the middle and a leadoff base hit. His first major league hit. And it starts the bottom of the ninth.
And they are rocking Wrigley Field. The Cubs have gone ahead in this series. 2-1 on a masterpiece from the young Mark Pryor. A two-hitter against the Braves.
Welcome back, Minnesota Sports Rewind, where we dive into prominent Minnesota sports events, games, trades, moments. Mackie, Judd, Declan. And gentlemen, this episode, and there's like 20 episodes for y'all to binge on the Minnesota Sports Rewind feed, but we're going to officially adopt Minnesota Sports Rewind on the Mackie and Judd podcast feed as well. So you can find it as part of the Mackie and Judd show every week. And also, if you want to just have all of the episodes in one feed, subscribe to Minnesota Sports Rewind, Apple, Spotify, and ScoreNorth.com. But we're going to go back to June 5th, 2001. That's right. We're going to go back 19 years ago this week, basically. Or last week. Sort of like late.
Yeah, close
last
enough.
Week.
You're close enough.
Somewhere in there.
Roll with it. It sounded good.
My DeLorean
is quite calibrated.
It sounded
like we were doing something right on time.
Yeah. Totally coincidental that we almost nailed the date of this, by the way. So the Minnesota Twins had the number one overall pick. And this episode is all about the choice that they made, Joe Maurer. Drafting the local boy from Creighton-Durham Hall, one of the best high school players in the country.
Sweet swing, Phil Mackey.
The Joe Maurer quick swing. Did you guys ever use the Joe Maurer quick swing?
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of it, probably because I didn't have a quick swing. Straight up.
It was supposed to help you, Declan.
Straight up. I was just bad at baseball.
I was too old for that.
The quick swing
would have been
better if it was clear, right? If you could see the ball sort of traveling
through.
Yeah,
or just, you know, swing mechanics.
Look at you guys now just ripping apart. Poor Joe and his dad,
fine.
His whole family.
I am admitting that I suck at baseball. I wanted to be Joe Maurer. Are you kidding me? I want to hit singles. That sounds great.
Would Joe Maurer's quick swing have, if you would have showed young Josh Donaldson when he was trying to revamp his swing to use the quick swing, I don't know if that chop quick to the ball thing would have worked. But the Twins made the decision to draft Joe Maurer number one overall instead of phenom top college arm Mark Pryor, I believe went to USC for his college baseball.
He did.
And it was, at the time, it was, I think, you know, I think in Minnesota, it was kind of a celebration of, yeah, Joe Maurer, he was maybe going to go play football at FSU, but there was also a lot of follow-up questions about, oh, but wait a second, did you just, like, draft a local kid because he's local and he's cheaper? Should you maybe have drafted Mark Pryor over here? Mm-hmm. So we're going to dive into a bunch of key questions in and around this, but to set the scene, the Twins do select Joe Maurer. He receives a $5.1 million signing bonus to be the number one overall pick. Mark Pryor received a $4 million signing bonus. So the Twins paid a higher signing bonus to Joe Maurer, but Pryor also came along with a five-year, $10 million guaranteed major league contract straight out of college. And he pitched a little bit. Mark Pryor was just like major league ready right out of the gate.
Right.
He was just ready to play.
Right.
He made 9 starts in the minor leagues in 2002 and then was up with the Cubs later that season. So they put him in the minors to get his feet wet, and he dominated, and then he was just a major league pitcher right away in 2002. So real quick, Judd, what do you remember? Do you remember the surroundings? Because you weren't covering the Twins, but you were at the Star Tribune.
What
was kind of the word from what you recall from the Royces and the Jim Suhans, et cetera?
The immediate Lavelle. Assumption, I think, among a lot of people who had a voice about the pick was, man, are the Twins cheap. Like, I'm sure Joe Maurer's a nice player. But keep in mind, too, Mark Pryor was basically seen as a sure thing immediately.
And he was.
So the fact that the Cubs fast-tracked him like they did was part of that plan. No surprise. So whomever got Pryor was going to do that. That was part of the mandate. And in fact, Pryor's dad got into screaming matches with the Twins because the Twins wouldn't say that they were definitely going to draft his kid first. And then he said, well, then just don't draft my son. You're a bunch of cheap SOBs, blah, blah, blah. But I remember that there was aside from the locals who just like the fact that the kid from Creighton, Durham Hall, had gone first overall in that draft, there were a lot of people with a voice about the pick who thought that this was the team being, again, at that time, incredibly cheap.
Yeah. So here's my first key question. Let's just jump right into this. All right. I'm gonna throw this question out, and then I have my strongest take on this, and you guys can cut me apart if you want to. The first key question is, would the Twins actually have been better off drafting Mark Pryor than Joe Mauer? And let me explain this, okay?
Oh, I get it.
Joe Mauer.
I have a follow-up question to your question, but I get it.
Joe Mauer very clearly had the better career. He had, when it's all said and done, Joe Mauer might be a Hall of Fame baseball player. And Joe Mauer is one of the greatest Twins of all time, Twins Hall of Fame, 300 hitter, one of the greatest on-base machines of his era and in his position, and also one of the best defensive catchers of his era.
Yep.
All these things. Joe Mauer's 10-year run as a catcher from 2004 through basically 2014, outside of one clunker season in 2011, is one of the great 10-year runs of a catcher in Major League history. And then he had the first base era to wind down his career, kind of taints his career a little bit, injuries and stuff. So I am not arguing that Mark Pryor had the better career. Joe Mauer had the better career, period. But the Twins from 2002 through 2004 had some really, really good teams that just needed like one extra thing to get over the hump in the American League playoffs.
Yes.
Joe Mauer didn't even come along until sort of the end of that period. Joe Mauer was not a part of the 2002 Twins. He was not a part of the 2003 Twins. 2004, he played for a little bit, got hurt, and I believe it was...
Flipped on the warning track behind home plate and ripped up his knee a little bit, or hurt his knee.
Right. So they had, what's his backup catcher guy who hit like 200?
Henry Blanco.
So from 2002...
Yeah, great catcher. What are you guys talking about, man? Was. Tools of ignorance fit him well.
He's a great defensive catcher. From 2002 through 2004, the Twins had a really, really good team, and they had Johan Santana, but they they never really had... Liriano didn't come along until 2006. Over that 3-year stretch, Mark Pryor from age 21 through 23 was one of the best starting pitchers in baseball. Mark Pryor posted ERAs of 3.32, 2.43, and then 4.02 in 2004, which was still well above league average. It was steroid era. And he led the major leagues in strikeout rate in 2005. He finished third in Cy Young voting in 2003 and was an All-Star, went 18-6. Would the Twins have won a World Series with Mark Pryor and Johan Santana somewhere between 2002 and 2004? And I think the answer might be yes.
So your question...
They beat the Yankees in a game in 03 and 04 with Johan and like Kyle Loesch, basically.
Much like a court of law, I think your question has to be put in the parameter of what you're asking exactly, which is over the entire extent of the career, was this the right pick? Or are we talking about in the scope of a 4-year period where Mark Pryor probably, dare I say this as well, used correctly, not abused because he was abused by the Cubs. Mark Pryor used correctly in that rotation in the period that you're talking about gives you, if they wouldn't have won a World Series, they would have had a far better chance if you had immediately plugged him in and paid him. But make no mistake. The ultimate answer to the question is the Twins never had any intention of paying Pryor what he wanted. So that's the interesting thing about this Rewind episode is we're almost talking about something that, in my opinion, couldn't have happened because the Twins wouldn't pay him. But if we're talking about going for it, so let's throw everything out. How we feel about Mauer, Pryor got hurt. I get that, but let's throw all those things out and let's just go with, would the Twins have won a World Series in the time of Mark Pryor's career with the Twins? Because we know that they didn't with Joe. I think the answer is there's a very good chance that rotation would have been really damn good.
Dude, they're
really good.
They would have. So Johan Santana became a starting pitcher in 2002. He started like, actually 2002, 2003, Johan was kind of this hybrid. Like he started 15 to 20 games and came out of the bullpen a little bit and they were just trying to limit his innings.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a starting pitcher in the playoffs in 2003. By 2004, he was just flat out the best starting pitcher in baseball, basically. It was him and there might have been a couple other candidates. And Mark Pryor was in a list of the top five there as well. And Kerry Wood with Chicago. So your rotations would have been in 2002. You would have had, by the time the playoffs rolled around, if you wanted, you would have had Johan Santana, Mark Pryor, and Brad Radke as like your number three starter going in against that Angels team in the American League Championship
Adam Kennedy,
Series.
Baby.
That wasn't quite the Joe Mays year. That was 2001. Yeah, Adam Kennedy with
the only three home runs
of his life, basically.
Freaking rally monkey.
You had Rick Reed in the mix at one point, but he was kind of but it would have been centered around Johan Santana,
yep.
Mark Pryor,
yep.
and Brad Radke
in a playoff series.
Yes,
that's pretty damn good.
And Joe Nathan as the closer. Something else to note, though, when the Twins made that draft pick in 2001, they were coming like there's a reason why they were picking number one because they were terrible. So they weren't exactly thinking with that draft pick, boy, we're just one. If we can just get this last piece to the puzzle.
But your question now comes back at this point to be a really intriguing one. Would they have, within that scope of that time period that we're talking about, would they have won a World Series? And you just gave me a rotation going back to 2002 that would have made you, in a playoff series, pretty damn formidable.
Declan, what do you think?
I don't think so. I don't think they won a World Series with Mark Pryor. I think I look at the one year that he was really, really good in 2003, where he was a third in Cy Young voting and was dominant. That was really only the one season. And I know they got screwed because of Bartman in a big way. He played a large part in that. But I look at all those Twins teams, and I don't know if just Mark Pryor is the reason they were able to get over an ALDS against the Yankees or get over the ALCS against the Angels. I think there was far too many things at play that Mark Pryor wouldn't be able to solve and get them over the hump.
You look at some of the.
I like their chances.
I honestly think they would. Like, I mean, it's hard. It's impossible to say because like we had to go back. But it is funny. The other part of this argument too is if the Twins would have drafted Mark Pryor, like we're sitting here having this conversation, saying, "Well, he was a ticking time bomb, and his arm would have blown up in 2006."
That's not necessarily
the
true.
Twins almost criminally the other way were very, very cautious with pitchers. I mean, we brought up Johan Santana. They limited Johan Santana's innings. Johan Santana was ready to be a starting pitcher in 2002, and they limited him until 2004. And even in 2004, Johan wasn't out there throwing 120 pitches every single outing. Dusty Baker basically said, all right, this is probably my last shot. I'm old.
Well,
and Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor are both awesome, and the Cubs haven't won a World Series in 100 years. So let's
do it.
Just throw them out there.
Dusty,
see what happens.
Should we go to the bullpen? Nah, don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
So these are Mark Pryor in 2003. These are Mark Pryor pitch counts down the stretch. Okay, this is his first full major league season in 2003. And Mark Pryor is throwing 116, 118, 100, 116.
It's not funny, I'm sorry.
Then we get to September. These are Mark Pryor's pitch counts. 131, 129, 109, 124, 131, and 133 heading into the postseason. Between 6 and 9 every single time.
Oh, my God, are you serious? Yeah.
And then 2003.
That's criminal.
Pitch counts in the playoffs. These are high-stress innings in the playoffs against some of the best teams in baseball, right? 133, 116, and 119, and he was great in all three of his postseason outings in 2003. He gave up only 6 runs in 23 innings, but they just rode him into the ground.
Did the Twins, in your mind now, in retrospect, with hindsight as your friend, make a mistake?
Oh, my God.
Because you're talking World Series here, man.
I honest to God do.
Thing to say.
It's crazy. And Joe Mauer, I've been to Joe Mauer. This is not an indictment on Joe Mauer.
Declan's PO'd right now.
Mark Pryor, with the benefit of hindsight, and when the Twins drafted Joe Mauer,
right.
weren't thinking that they were going to have a World Series window from 02 to 04. Like, they were hopeful that they had some players coming up.
Right.
But they didn't. There's no way they would have said, gun to the head right now as you make this draft pick, is your World Series window going to open up next year?
Right.
There's no way they would have said that. Although this was the 2001 draft. They were one of the best. Maybe I'm wrong here. They were one of the best teams in baseball on June 5th, 2001.
Yes.
Because they got off to a ridiculous hot start.
TK's last year, yeah.
So maybe they did see the window opening. So this is going to sound crazy. But I think because the Twins would have won a World Series if Mark Pryor was in their starting rotation, then therefore it was a mistake to draft Joe Mauer over Mark Pryor.
Man, that's a good hot take. That is a great hot take. Declan's not happy about it, but I think it's a great hot take.
I mean, it's my opinion. Just like my opinion, man.
Oh, wow.
Pulling me over.
Wow. I don't know, man.
Hey, there's still a police department to pull you over.
You guys can
didn't know that we still had one.
The Zolgad and Son Police Department.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. Okay?
Work out of our house.
So you're not going to find, is it fair to say that, like, of all the punishment, Joe Mauer has received a lot of punishment from media and fans in this town. And I've been the Joe Mauer, like, Mount Rushmore of Joe Mauer defenders. I am George Washington in this town. I just, like, I've always stood up for him as a player, as a guy. I think he's one of the greatest Twins of all time. But if you look at the Twins, when he first arrived really on the scene in 2005, when he was like, all right, he's healthy, he's ready to rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
From 2005 all the way through the end, they only really had like one or two meaningful playoff pushes. And so like 2006, 2009, 10s, like they had like three really go for it type seasons in the meat of his career as a Twins player.
Yeah.
I'm not really counting. Was he on that wild card team in 17? I can't remember. But like it was basically 06. It was 06, it was 09, and it was 2010.
Yep.
They really could have used him in 03 and 04, right? Like they needed that extra thing to get over the hump. And he just wasn't ready yet because they drafted him out of high school. So what I'm saying is, in retrospect, Mark Pryor would have given them a better chance to win a World Series in the time that they were most ready to win a World Series.
I think you're probably right about that. Yeah. I don't know that I'm a little bit more torn than you are probably on if that was a mistake, because he did prove as a catcher to be so damn good.
Sure.
But then, of course, comes the other key question after you draft Joe Mauer. And you're looking at him and saying, oh, my God, this guy can hit. He is a generationally great player. Should we have him catch? I don't know about that.
Okay, that's the next key question. Did the Twins make a mistake by not moving Joe Mauer to a different position?
Absolutely, because you would move him now. And they, keep in mind, too, at that time, guys were being moved. Biggio started as a catcher with the Astros. They're like, no, this ain't going to work. We saw players around that era being moved. Now, I think it's almost an automatic that you are moved. I think the Twins made a mistake by not moving him, let's say, with that arm to right field. I probably would have moved him to the outfield and not first base initially, and then had the option later in his career to do exactly what they did do. But with a guy who can hit like that, with that size and that frame, is it a good idea to have him play what I would guess is arguably the, if not one of the most stressful position in all of pro sports?
Yeah.
I believe that the Twins helped expedite Mauer's exit as an elite player. As an elite player.
Yeah.
By not moving him from catcher. I get that he was a great catcher, but I don't think the trade-off ultimately was worth it. So, yes, I think they made a mistake by not transitioning him to the outfield probably right away.
You know, third base would have been a really interesting one because he was a great athlete.
Mm-hmm.
He would have played college football. He would have played quarterback. I think early in his career, he was a great base runner who ran well for a catcher, too.
Yep.
You don't have to be lightning fast to play third base, but you got to be quick.
Smart.
Yep. Like Miguel Sano, not quick enough to play third base, so you gotta move him. Joe Mauer was in good shape. He was quick. He had great hands. I think the reason why catcher was such an appealing spot for him is because if you have a guy that hits 300 and gets on base at a 400 clip at that position, it just raises the water level of your whole lineup so much, because there's only like five or six good hitting catchers in baseball at any given time. The rest of them are just kind of garbage because it's a physically taxing position.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the Twins were able to run out a catcher that hit at that level for 10 years and still have a first baseman that could hit at an MVP level and still have a Brian Dozier at second base later on in Joe Mauer's career, right? And still have Torrey Hunter in center field. Like, it makes your lineup so much better. But at the same time, you're limiting what he could have done offensively. He was such a wildly talented offensive player. If he would have played a less taxing position, be it first base, third base, or a corner outfield spot, he would have put up better power numbers. He probably would have hit for even a higher batting average and a higher on base percentage. I love to bring this fact up because it really illustrates how taxing playing catcher is. In the history of baseball, there's like 25 hitters in the 500 home run club. So just going back to the early 1900s, there's about 25 players, a couple dozen players, who've hit 500 home runs in their careers. None of them are catchers, for one.
Mm-hmm.
only one catcher ever has hit 400 home runs, and only eight catchers ever have hit 300 home runs in their career.
Wow.
So the 500 home run club has 25 players. The 300 home run club for catchers only includes 8 players, and Joe Mauer is not in that club, just so everyone knows. Ivan Rodriguez, Lance Parrish, Gary Carter, Yogi Berra, Carlton Fisk, Johnny Bench, Mike Piazza is the only one with over 400. And I think that shows you, like, if Yogi Berra had played a different, less taxing position, he's probably in the 500 home run club. If Johnny Bench is in the 500 or 600 home run club, but usually you are physically shot at that position by the time you are 29, 30, 31 years old.
Running back.
And then your numbers drop. It truly is.
It's the running back of baseball.
So you know that you're getting, when you have that great of a player at that position, you're getting a ton of positional value, but you're also limiting how long their career can be and how great their offensive upside can be. And that's what happened with Joe Mauer.
Well, what if it's flipped? What if he starts at third base and he wins those 4 batting titles and he wins an MVP in 09, but then in 2013 he does suffer a significant injury, whether it's a concussion or an ACL, whatever, and his career is then shortened and he's no longer the player he is. Do we look at him as a Hall of Fame player like he is right now?
I don't think so.
Exactly.
We probably don't, but keep in mind the concussions were the multitude in the buildup of being hit by foul tips. So like the way to get him hurt playing third base is a much farther. It's sure. Much more difficult. So he didn't get hurt in some fluky, oh, he tore up his knee, you know, rounding second base. He got hurt because through the years, he took multiple foul tips, which just began to take their toll. So I would say that the odds of him getting hurt significantly and derailing his career, which in my mind is pretty much what took place that day against the Mets at Target Field, is a long shot. So I think that if he starts, let's say he starts in right or at third base, I think what you have is probably... And I don't know if the power changes significantly, but I think what you have is probably Carew's career, if nothing else, mm-hmm. which is a, what, 15 to 20 year Hall of Fame career where there is not a drop off at all, basically at the plate until maybe the end.
I'm glad you brought up Rod Carew's career because there's actually a lot of parallels. They would seem like very opposite players. They play different positions. They played in different eras.
Sweet swings, man.
Yeah, Rod Carew played until he was 40 years old. But the tough part is Joe Mauer's numbers dropped off at the end. It's like Joe Mauer was like a .320 career hitter until the last few years of his career. But
right.
Both were high batting average, batting title guys. Both guys were on-base machines that got on base at near a .400 clip. Neither one of them really hit for a lot of power, but both hit a ton of doubles.
Yes.
Rod Carew had the advantage of also racking up stolen bases in his career, but Joe Mauer had the advantage of playing a more taxing, difficult position at a high level. I think you're right. If Joe Mauer doesn't play catcher, he probably does hit. He's probably Tony Gwynn, Rod Carew. He has that sweet swing, those hands. He probably plays until he's 37. He's probably playing now. He's probably playing until he's 37, 30 years old, just a pure natural hitter.
Yes, right? Yes.
And for the record, Joe Mauer in his career as a catcher ranks 7th on the all-time batting average list, just behind Mike Piazza and some other old guys from the early 1900s, like Bubbles Hargrave.
I love Bubbles.
Bud Davis.
Bubbles was
hot.
I watched Bubbles games
Bubbles
on.
Bubbles Hargrave out there now. I'm throwing the ball around WOR the infield.
All
the time. Yes, now.
Fantastic guy.
Bubbles Hargrave.
Bubbles Hargrave. And here's my question too. If you move Mauer and he starts his career at a different position, keep in mind, and he might have driven people absolutely bonkers, AJ Pierzynski for the most part still had a very productive career after he left here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if you didn't have a catcher. It's not as if you said, well, okay, that's fine, we moved Mauer to right field and now Judd Henry Blanco is catching every day. That's not the case. So you could have moved Joe and swallowed hard and said, yeah, he's a pain in the ass, but Pierzynski can play.
And think how long it took them. They had Koski, but Koski was kind of gone by like 2004. Think about how many third basemen they ran through. Punto was starting at third base for a while in 2006.
Mike Lamb,
Joe Creedy.
Batista?
Brian Buescher.
God, they've been looking for third baseman. If Joe Mauer had been their third baseman,
Brian Buescher.
Pierzynski stays.
Where should Brian Buescher come from? I love Brian Buescher.
All right, next
What's
key
the next question?
Next key question, okay? All right. let's go with this one, just plain and simple. Did Joe Mauer live up to the hype?
I think the answer, and my guess is there's a lot of Twins fans who will say, absolutely not. Look at the end, okay? I think he did. I think when you put together a career at catcher where you become the first catcher in the American League, I believe, at the time to win a batting title, mm-hmm. I believe only one or two other catchers in the history of baseball in the National League had done that, okay? When you do that, when you put together the 2009 campaign after missing, what, April and coming back in May, but put together the MVP campaign that he did, when you look at what this guy did in the prime, and this is why I think he is a Hall of Fame catcher. I think he belongs in Cooperstown based on that body of work. I think that you can fairly say, okay, the first base years weren't great, but if Joe Mauer gets the foul tip against the Mets and is out and says, you know what, guys, I'm done, I think that there's a very good case that Joe Mauer goes into the Hall of Fame as a catcher based on that portion of his career. I really believe that it's unfair to say that when you put together statistically what he did playing the position he did, that he didn't live up to the hype. I think that's completely unfair.
I think he lived up to the hype as well. And I have an exercise for us. But Declan, do you think he lived up to the hype?
100%. If you look at his WAR of, what, 55 in his career and all the accolades that he did as a number one pick, I mean, look at all the number one picks that have been busts. There's more of them. There's going to be more people that were busts than what Joe Mauer was able to do. He 100% lived up to his hype.
So that's the exercise I want to go through here, which is, I'm going to go back like probably 8 or 10 years just to get, because Carlos Correa was a number one pick. His career hasn't played out yet. Most of the guys picked number one overall, like Royce Lewis hasn't even gotten to the major leagues yet. But let's go back to the 2011 draft, Gerrit Cole, and let's go back further. We'll just go back like 15, 20 number one picks. Let's compare Joe Mauer to the other number one overall picks. Did Joe Mauer have a better career than blank? Okay, the other number one picks.
Okay.
Gerrit Cole. Actually, the jury's still out.
I was going to say that's hard to decide because I'm not quite sure on Cole. He could turn out to be a great Bronx bomber.
So, like, Bryce Harper, jury's still out. Yep. Steven Strasburg, jury's still out.
Yep.
All right, let's start with David Price, 2007 number one pick. I think Mauer's had a better career than David Price.
Yeah, Mauer has.
Okay. Let's see here. Luke Hochevar.
Yeah, no. Unless Joe,
Luke Hochevar was a number one pick?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was.
I feel like Joe Mauer had like 400 off that guy in his career. Yeah. I would not be surprised.
Okay, Luke Hochevar was a large part of the reason why Joe Mauer said
that. Yeah, yeah.
Justin Upton.
Mauer.
Yeah, Mauer, 100%.
These next three are easy. Matt Bush, Delmon Young, Brian Bullington. Mauer, okay. Mauer.
Matt Bush. Mauer. Padres, man. He was supposed to be a hot shot.
Drug problems.
Yeah. Interesting career. Yeah.
Substance abuse, man.
Adrian Gonzalez.
Mauer.
Mauer.
It's Mauer.
I like Gonzalez a lot, but it's Mauer.
Josh Hamilton.
Mauer.
Mauer.
It should have been Josh.
Should have been Josh, but yeah, Mauer.
But that's, you know, it happens.
Again.
Pat Burrell.
Mauer.
Oh, Pat the Bat, yeah.
I like Mauer. Pat Burrell, but Mauer.
Matt Anderson and Chris Benson.
Okay.
Mauer.
Mauer.
Are those
Mauer.
Saints players?
No, Chris Benson was the top pick by the Pirates. An anchor of my rotisserie baseball league team for a few
His
years.
His wife, more famous than him, Anna Benson.
Oh, yeah, she was. She had some problems.
Celebrity. Darren Erstad, number one pick.
Mauer, but Erstad was very, very good.
Yeah, Mauer.
Paul Wilson, Mauer.
Pitcher, right, for the Mets?
Right-handed pitcher, yep.
Okay, Mauer.
1993, Alex Rodriguez.
A-Rod.
Okay, so you finally hit one.
A-Rod, and even though he's very tainted and he's kind of a dummy, Alex Rodriguez is out of better career.
It's A-Rod, yep.
It's A-Rod.
So we got to go back to...
Mauer had done steroids, boys, huh?
Maybe he did do steroids, no man.
So we got to go back to 1993.
Whoa, can't just throw that out there. Joe is clean.
Joe didn't have a lot of bicep definition.
Joe's home run totals would have been much different.
I don't know.
Alex Rodriguez into Phil Nevin, 1992.
Another former.
That's Joe Mauer.
Mauer, but Phil was pretty good.
Brian Taylor, Mauer.
Brian Taylor got in a fight and derailed his career as a pitcher with the Yankees.
Chipper Jones.
Chipper Jones.
Chipper.
Probably Chipper, right?
Love yeah. Chipper Jones.
Love Chipper.
Ben McDonald. Big Ben McDonald. Orioles. By the way, back to...
You're like 67, Phil.
Well, this is 1989.
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding.
I'm back to 1989.
It's Mauer, but Ben McDonald, I think, did have a pretty solid career, but it's Mauer.
Andy Bennis, 1988. It's Mauer. Ken Griffey Jr., we can all agree, okay. is Ken Griffey Jr., right?
So you're on three guys who had better careers than
so,
Mauer.
Jeff King, BJ Surhoff, Sean Abner, Tim Belcher, Sean Dunstan, Mike Moore, Daryl Strawberry. I'm back to 1980. And only three players have had, three number one overall picks have had better
Tim
careers.
Tim Belcher, man. Twins took him and he wouldn't sign. They couldn't sign him.
Timmy Belcher. All right, next key question, okay?
Yep.
If Pryor's presence, if I'm right, the Twins would have won a World Series between 2002 and 2004 with Mark Pryor.
Yep.
But then his arm blows up and he never pitches again. Basically what happened with the Cubs.
Yep.
Would you take the short burst success with Mark Pryor, would you take a World Series win between 02 and 04, or would you rather have the borderline Hall of Fame career and longevity with Joe Mauer from a Twins fan perspective?
Oh, I'd take the World Series every single time. There's no, there. It's not even a debate. Great career, great guy, hometown hero. I am taking a World Series parade.
And I guess if you're framing it as, yeah, you know for a fact you're going to go to a World Series between 2002 and 2004, but I'll give you Joe Mauer and he's going to have a better career and you could win multiple World Series. I'm taking Pryor. I'll take the Pryor bet.
So you guys agree with me then? The Twins made a mistake by drafting Joe Mauer and Mark Pryor.
The problem is they were never going to pay him. They were never going to pay
it. It's not even that much money.
And they got in screaming matches with his father, and it all was ugly from the get-go.
It was a five-year, $2 million a year contract.
Did you see who else they passed on, though? Because I believe he broke his ankle playing college baseball that spring, and he was in their top three until then. I think he fell out after that.
Mark Teixeira? He was like the number five or six pick overall.
Yes. And that's actually my question to you boys. If Phil's dreams do come true and the commissioner's trophy, I think it's called that, is parading down I-94 and Mark Pryor is in the back of the convertible carrying it, where is Joe Mauer playing?
So if the Twins pick Teixeira, you're saying?
No, Pryor. If they take Pryor, where is Joe Mauer playing? Because I don't think it's a slam dunk. It's the Cubs.
Well, I'll just go through the next picks here. It's a disaster. Joe Mauer, Mark Pryor, and Mark Teixeira were like the only good players out of this draft. This is what happens. Jeremy Bonderman was 26.
Was David Wright in that draft?
He was not in this draft, I don't think. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. He was the 38th overall pick.
Jeez.
So David Wright.
Did the Twins make a mistake by not taking David Wright?
Turns out he had some back issues and stuff too, right?
Yeah, yes.
So Mauer, Pryor to the Cubs, and then the Rays took DeJuan Brazelton,
yes,
a right-handed pitcher.
Yeah, great guy.
The Phillies took Gavin Floyd.
Yeah.
You guys remember him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nope.
I think he pitched for the White Sox.
One of my many irrational hatreds. Can't stand him.
You can't stand Gavin Floyd?
Can't stand Gavin. I can't stand most of any player that pitched for the Tigers or White Sox from 2006 to 2011.
Get over it. So anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
The Rangers took Mark Teixeira.
Yep.
Then it was Expos. These are all busts. Like Josh Karp. Baltimore Orioles took Chris Smith. The Pirates took John Van Benschooten.
Do you know who I think takes Joe? Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay was a pretty poorly run organization in 2001, though.
Yeah.
And they were looking for pitching.
Yeah, that might be true. I was going to say, because they would have loved the fact that he wouldn't have broke the bank.
That's true. I'm trying to find other teams like that. The Royals at 9 could have taken Joe Mauer.
I don't think
how about the Brewers at 12?
Yeah. Where did St. Louis pick? I feel like Joe Mauer would have a whole long-lasting career in St. Louis.
The
Rami's going to come
back. Hear him.
Rami's going to come
already out of
drive
mind.
To the studio and kill
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
St. Louis drafted late in the first round. They drafted a player named Justin Perry.
I think Mauer goes top 10 for sure, and my guess is top 5.
For sure. Yep. So, all right. Last key question for you guys here. If Mauer had stuck with football and gone to Florida State, what would have happened? How good of a quarterback would he have been? Would he have played in the NFL?
Could he have stayed healthy? Because if he could have stayed, let's just assume.
Probably not.
Let's assume for the sake of the conversation that he could have stayed healthy. I think he would have been a fantastic college quarterback. I think he would have played in the National Football League. And with that athletic ability and that size, I think he would have been damn good. Now I will come back to because he had injury problems in baseball starting, as you pointed out, Phil, in 2004. I don't know that he could have stayed on the field either at Florida State or in the NFL. But if we're going to just assume that he would have, I think he would have been a really, really good, solid quarterback who could have had success and possibly led the Purple to the Super Bowl.
I think health is the biggest question. I think he would have been like a... I don't know. Now I'm doing like the white guy quarterback comparison.
Joe Flacco? Are you about to say Joe Flacco?
Well, he does look a little bit like Joe Flacco. I was going to say like a Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
He would have been like a Matt
Ryan. That's damn good.
He's
won an MVP.
But here's the problem.
That's a good ceiling.
At that position, I think you have to be kind of an alpha leader guy. It's really like, think about the top quarterbacks in the NFL's history. The Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, the just anyone you could think of, Pat Mahomes right now.
Yep.
These are guys that people gravitate to in a room that will call people out, yep, that have sort of an alpha personality.
True.
And Joe has, even as the leader in that clubhouse, Joe was always more, I don't know if beta is the right word, but he was just more reserved. And he was like, he wasn't going to be the rah-rah guy, and he wasn't going to get, I can't envision him before an NFL game doing the Drew Brees thing where it's like, get everyone riled up, you know?
Oh, geez, guys, let's go win a game.
Yeah, I'm not sure Drew's going to be listened to now as much. That's you know what? That's an interesting talker, because you might be right there, because Joe never seemed to, at least from what we saw, have much control of things in that clubhouse. Now, I will say that you certainly heard stories, and it was pretty evident in his last year when he became emotional about it, that guys, that he did do some things to take control. I guess I'm just talking more from an athletic standpoint,
sure,
and quarterback standpoint on the field. Off the field, you're probably right. I will say this. If you had plopped Joe Mauer into a Vikings jersey the year that they took Christian Ponder and said, pick, Joe Mauer, better quarterback.
You're saying at that exact moment.
At that exact moment, Joe Mauer, better pro quarterback.
I don't disagree with that. You're saying, like, having played no level above high school.
I'm saying if Joe Mauer had showed up at Winter Park the day that Ponder was introduced from Florida State, right?
That's a great hot take.
As their first-round pick, and Joe had been like, listen, young man, why don't you take a seat? I am now the quarterback of this team. I think Joe Mauer steps in immediately, then not having played quarterback, and is a better pro quarterback with the Vikings than Christian Ponder ever was. The athletic ability is not close.
I agree. All right, let's wrap this episode with Royce and get his thoughts on Joe Mauer prior. Minnesota Sports Rewind with Mackie and Judd here.
With that, I congratulate Joe, his family, and everybody involved in his youth and anybody that's ever touched this young man in any of the sports that he's played. They've certainly done a wonderful job, and I'd like to introduce to you Joe Mauer.
All right, Pat, we're doing this Minnesota Sports Rewind episode on the 2001 draft in which the Twins took Joe Mauer instead of Mark Pryor, and I told these guys, as much as I am on the Mount Rushmore of Joe Mauer defenders, I am George Washington over these past 10 years. But I think Mark Pryor pushes the Twins to a World Series between 2002 and 2004, and therefore, by that logic, it was the wrong decision to draft Joe Mauer over Mark Pryor. Your thoughts?
Well, they were. I think there was a financial consideration for sure, because the Pryor family, you know, the old man tried to do everything he could to dissuade the Twins from drafting him. So they did not. They did not want the Twins to draft him number one. I think we all kind of criticized them when they took Joe and said. But that also was 0-1, and we weren't really sure that we were seeing a World Series contender in the making. They were playing well, obviously, in June of 2001, but they were also coming off 8 straight losing seasons. And I would say, in retrospect, you can't claim that they would have won a World Series with Pryor. So I would go with the Joe pick. So that in retrospect, I think I probably wrote something saying they should take Pryor, and I think I was wrong. So,
take that, Mackie.
No. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not saying Phil's theory is wrong. I'm just saying that in retrospect, I think they made the right choice. So,
do you think Patrick?
No, with Pryor, once his arm went dead, I mean, would have the decade, would have 04 to 2010 been as good without Mauer? I don't think so.
Yeah, but do the Twins handling of Pryor cause his arm to go as dead as Dusty Baker? Phil went through the pitch counts of Pryor in Chicago. It's
hilarious.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's like 130 pitches every game for like 3 months to end that season in 03.
Hey, they were trying to win your World Series that you're talking about.
I know. Guardy doesn't let him go 130, though, I don't think.
I think he went 130.
He doesn't. But, you know, I think that you guys are you rarely do this, but I think you're engaging in some speculation.
Well, that is. Wait a second.
What type of speculation,
rarely,
Pat?
Rarely happens. That Pryor wouldn't have thrown as many pitches, so then his arm would have blown out, so then the Twins would have won.
Reckless speculation.
Reckless. Retrospective speculation.
You got to get a new Manny Hill cut from a long time ago.
It was a hell of a draft, wasn't it? When you look at some of the mediocre, lousy, when you look at a draft where Adam Johnson gets picked third compared to this one, this was Teixeira was there, and you could also make a case maybe they should have taken him, right?
Yes. Yeah. David Wright was a late first round pick in that draft.
No, but who else was?
Those were the three main guys at the top. It was because DeJuan Brazelton went third.
Brazelton was mentioned a lot, and the Twins actually liked him a lot. But there's somebody else. I thought there was another one, like a fifth.
Jeremy Bonderman was in the first round of that draft.
Yeah, that was a hell of a draft. So, Joe turned out okay.
Oh, Bobby Crosby, remember him, the shortstop of the future for the Oakland A's?
Vaguely,
yeah.
Turned out to not be the shortstop of the future. Yeah.
And let's debate that next. Bobby Crosby, where is he now?
I'd forgotten until I read the script today that the first Twins first ever draft choice. I remember when they took Eddie Leone and they didn't sign him. That was a start that Calvin didn't like, the fact that these guys were asking for money to sign. What the hell?
Draft started when, Patrick? Late 60s?
Well, Rick Mundy was the first ever selection, I think. Rick Mundy, so 65,
okay.
66, something like that. I think 65 or 6. And boy, now you usually should put in there, I think Rick Mundy was the first pick instead of Rick Mundy was the first pick. That's my recollection. Anyway, but I was in St. Cloud then, and I was drinking, so maybe I forget.
Hold on. I'll check it. I bet you're right. I bet you're right. I bet it was him.